When I began pondering about sharing the message this morning, I realized all the people that have helped me get to this point. So I want to say thank you to Kyle and our many times of conversations. I want to say thank you to the office staff for running off the inserts to the bulletins. I want to say thank you to many of you who turned into your hymn requests. And I probably forgot a dozen people. This doesn't happen alone. It happens with the team, and it's wonderful to be part of a wonderful team. In the traditional sense, I can say that I'm a Michigander. I was born in Michigan. In fact, I was born in Farmington. My birth house still stands on Lakeway, right down the road from Farmington High School. My parents were from two different states, my dad from Dunkirk, New York, and my mom from Marion, Ohio. It's my Ohio connection that results in my offering to share the message this morning. Pastor Melanie repeatedly says to us at staff meetings, quote, well, maybe close to quote, let me know if there's a Sunday you would like to share the message. My son, Todd, is the family genealogist. He enjoys delving into family history. My mother was an orphan at age 6, so history of her family has only come to me from Todd's research. My great-grandfather, Thomas Tunison, lived in Tifton, Ohio. And in an obituary that my son found of one of his sons, this is written, quote, he was the son of Thomas Tunison, who in the 50s, that's 1850, was one of the most promising members of the Seneca County Bar, and who is said to have been the first to introduce the violin music into Tifton churches. Then quite an event, as the instrument was then considered generally ungodly. End of quote. Really? I'm glad to see some of you smiling. I have a direct family history with traditions of music and transitions in the church. I raised my hand and said, I can share this message. There are several chapters relating to church music in the book, Who Stole My Church? Many of you are reading it. Pastor Melanie leads a study on it during the night at the park on Tuesdays. This morning's mission is to look over the change of music trends in the church. Possible to cover 500 years in 15 or 20 minutes? No. Sharing a bit meaningfully? Hopefully. I want to take you on the journey, so you need to be three things in your hands. Number one, the bulletin insert that has multiple hymns listed on it. You need to keep that in front of you. Number two, you need the blue hymnal easily accessible to you. And number three, you need the Faith We Sing book. Okay, you got that? Now, for the children, during my message, we're going to be singing songs. Some of them are quieter songs, and some of them are jubilation songs. If it's a jubilation song, feel free to play your instruments while we're singing it. If it's a quiet song, try to listen to your parents and say, let's just listen to this one, okay? And I don't care if it happens other times, it's not going to be the end of the earth, okay? So we'll be singing off and on throughout the message. First, let's look at the hymn listings. All except those that are printed in italics come from you, your favorites. First is the name of the hymn. The second column is the date that the words were written for the hymn. The third column is when the music was added to the words. And the fourth column is the number that the hymn is in a particular book that we have. Now, you need to find the top of the first page that says 1518. Got that? 1518? First date, 1518? Before that, before the date of 1518, the only songs that were sung in the church were called psalmody. It was ungodly to do otherwise. So the only songs that could be sung, and often they were to kind of just a draggy rhythm, were not allowed. But then Martin Luther broke that trend. Several of you listed A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. It's one of the 10 most sung hymns in the United Methodist Church. Seems fitting that we might start there this morning. Remain seated. But find it in your hymnal, number 110. And yes, I think the instruments could go with this. We're going to sing verse 4. Hymn number 110. It's not going to be projected. You've got to open up the blue books. This is how we used to do it. We're traveling with the transitions of music in the church. Verse 4. Here we go. Songs by Isaac Watts. Isaac Watts was born in 1674. His father was a pastor. One day, the biographers say that Isaac was walking home from church with his father and started to complain about the music they had just been singing that morning. He was totally bored. It was a solemnity that marked every worship service. Rather than arguing with his son, his father listened and then said, quote, "Son, why don't you mend the matter?" Meaning, write some music of your own. And Isaac Watts did just that. Note, First Church War. First challenge is listed on your sheet. To music in the church arrives. People did not accept Watts's music. It was not from the Psalms. But then he figured out a way to twist that a little bit. Do you remember back on Christmas Eve when we sang Joy to the World? Joy to the world. Okay? Isaac Watts wrote that song, and what he did was he took the music, the words from Psalm 98, combined them with words from the Gospel of Luke, and created a Christmas song. It wasn't immediately accepted, but eventually it worked. Sing to the Lord a new song, we could say. Another song written by Watts is a favorite of some of us, number 117. O God, our help in ages past, find in your blue book, number 117, we will sing verses 1 and 3. About the same time in the 1700s, Charles Wesley, the brother of John, began writing songs. Christ the Lord is risen today as one of child's works. It is said to be the most widely used Easter hymn among United Methodists. We're going to sing it this morning, verse 1. It's number 302 in your hymnal, number 302. And I would say the instruments could go for this one really loud and clear. Verse 1, 302.
Christ, your joy.
many others of the time are based on the theological themes of God or Jesus Christ. Have you been hearing that? They've talked strongly about God or strongly about Jesus. Early in the 1800s came Silent Night. Popular legend is that this song was composed by Muir and Gruber on Christmas Eve for the guitar after the church organ broke down. Although it was indeed performed by two men that very day, it was always Muir's controversial intention to use the guitar. Controversial? Because it was a non-liturgical instrument which would never be normally allowed in the church. The carol is still sung in Austria after the main service, usually standing by the crib with the guitar. Second shift, second war in the changes of music in the church, arrives in the late 1800s and early 1900s. Many styles of organs began to be developed. In the 1920s came the Great Depression. Songs now began to focus on the individual and the individual's connection to God and Jesus. Our list of favorites is growing. Do you see how long the list is there? "It Is Well With My Soul" was written by Horatio Spafford. Tragedy filled his life. All his property along the shoreline of Chicago was destroyed in the Chicago fire of 1871. When just days before, his son had died. Four of his daughters died in a shipwreck on the way to Great Britain. The only survivor was his wife, who said to him, "Saved alone. Beginning with loss, it is well with my soul, ends in hope for the day when faith shall be sight." Phoebe Knapp composed the tune to Blessed Assurance. One day she played it for Fanny Cosby and asked, "What does that melody say to you?" Cosby replied, "Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine," and proceeded to recite the whole first verse. Fanny was a little girl who became blind at 6 weeks old. The doctor had used inappropriate medication on her eyes. She was a lifelong Methodist. She's been one of the authors of 8,000 gospel hymns. We got to sing at least one of hers, right? Blessed Assurance, number 369, verse 1. 369, verse 1. To turn your hymn sheet over. On to the third shift in Christmas and in Christian music in the church. Short and bouncy tunes continued into the 1920s and following. Tommy Dorsey is known as the father of black gospel music. Born in Georgia, his father was a Baptist preacher and his mother a piano teacher. He moved to Chicago in 1915 at the age of 16 and studied at the College of Composition and Arranging. Many hymns are written in the throes of tragedy. Precious Lord was written by Dorsey in 1932, following the death of his wife and his infant son during childbirth. It was also Martin Luther Jr. King's favorite hymn. As Martin lay dying the day after his being shot, he said to his friend Ben, "Make sure you play 'Take My Hand, Precious Lord' in the meeting tonight. Play it with beauty." Precious Lord, let's sing verses 1 and 3, number 474. 474. Another song in the era of the third challenge is This Is My Song. We sing it to the tune of Philandia. It was music written by Jean Sibelius at the patriotic offering for his nation and the struggles of the Finnish people. Words to verse 1 and 2 are penned by Lord Stone. I invite you to find number 437. This Is My Song. We'll sing verses 1 and 2. 437, 1 and 2. Today, we are still in the time of the fourth challenge. It began in 1980, 40 years ago. Have you noticed how things have condensed down? Change happened like 100 years apart, 150 years apart. Now we've just had 40 years, and there's another major change. Songs during this time often have deep passion and feeling. Our time is coming to a close. We'll end it by singing three songs, one or two verses each. Not my preference, for I see songs as telling a whole story, so I ask forgiveness for this shortened venue. But for the sake of time, I yield to this format. Let's begin with Here I Am, Lord, verse 3 of number 593. 593, verse 3. Second is, Lord, You Have Come to the Lakeshore, number 344, written following the Second Vatican, which opened the way for many people to express new thoughts through music. Monsieur Gabrion was one of the best-known composers of Spanish liturgical music. This hymn has been translated into more than 80 languages. 344, verse 1. One we are called. It's in the Faith We Sing book. Finally, we got there. David Haas, born in Bridgeport, Michigan, is one of the most prominent Catholic composers since the mid-1980s. In this song, we experience the energy and the enthusiasm of the folk style. I invite you to stand as you are able and to sing We Are Called, number 2172. 2172. We'll go for it and do all three verses. 2172. Thank you. You send a trend, a difference from the beginning to the end. Wow, we are here. I hope you enjoyed the journey from the 1500s up to today. I wonder where God will be leading us in 2018. May we have faith in the God of mystery. Be attentive to listening to both God and to each other. Be open to receive and then to share as well as to live the love of Christ in our church, into our community, and into our world. Indeed, let us sing a new song, and may God guide our steps.